Good morning. It's March 21st, and I welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville, Ohio, as we live stream this service this morning. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA and a member of the Presbytery of Scioto Valley. We are located at 41 West College Avenue in Uptown Westerville. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, pastor here at First Presbyterian, and I will be leading worship today. We have Lynn Meyer playing the piano and the organ this morning, and Earl Linhart will be singing for us as well. If you are visiting with us this morning, I invite you to post a note on our Facebook page so that we will know that you were here with us this morning. And if you would like to learn more about this church, you may contact the church via our Facebook page or by calling the church office at 614-882-3155. We are glad that you are worshiping with us this morning, and if you're watching the service live, you are invited to join your fellow worshipers at a Zoom coffee hour, which will be immediately following the service this morning. A link to the coffee hour has been posted on our Facebook page. Today we have a few announcements to share before we begin our worship. First of all, the flowers this morning are given by Eric and Marge Fredrickson in memory of Edward and Edna Shapala, that's Marge's parents. Tomorrow is the last day for Easter lily donations. This year we are doing virtual Easter lilies. We will be collecting money, and a list of donors will be published, but the money itself will go to the Pike County Food Pantry. And you can call the church office tomorrow to provide, if you wanted to provide a virtual Easter lily for Easter Sunday. Next week is Palm Sunday, and our Christian Ed Department is celebrating Palm Sunday with a Sunday food drive for Pike County again. Items needed are listed in the March newsletter, but we will accept anything that you decide to bring. We will invite you to drive by the church between 1 and 2 in the afternoon, and crew of volunteers will unload your car and load up cars to take food down to Pike County this coming week. Looking ahead, next week begins Holy Week, and we will be celebrating a couple of times, special times during Holy Week. One is on Maundy Thursday, April 1st. We will have a live stream on Maundy Thursday service at 7 p.m., including the Last Supper. We will also be celebrating twice on Easter Sunday, Easter April 4th. We will be there, have an outside service in our parking lot at 9 a.m. at the church, and also our live stream services at our regular time at 10:15. And now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude, which is entitled Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us.
Thank you.
Let us call ourselves to worship. Christ did not come into the world to be served, but to serve. Christ is in our midst this morning as one who serves. We celebrate our servant Lord by worshiping God. Let us worship and pray until we too have become servants. Let us pray. Lord, if there is one sin of which we are more guilty than all the others, it is the sin of denial. We pretend that we have no sin on our account. We masquerade as people who have it all together. We avoid facing up to our own selfishness. And so we miss the joy, the real joy of being Christian, the joy of knowing that we are accepted as we are, the pleasure of being able to be completely ourselves. Forgive us, Lord, and teach us of your grace, that we might know the freedom of being fully loved, for then we will be able to fully love others. Amen. God loves us and forgives us. God gives us the chance to begin anew. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Ms. Heather is not here today, so I get the chance to do the especially for children today. And I brought something to show everyone. It's a can of soup. And the reason I brought this can of soup because, as I mentioned in the announcements, next Sunday is the Christian Education Department's food drive, and where you're invited to bring a can of soup or a box of cereal or anything else that can be shared with the families down in Pike County, Ohio. And it's something we do that's very special. You know, Jesus taught us a lot of things. But one of the things he taught most often was that we should share. We should share what we have with others. And we have a lot of things we can share. We certainly can, when friends come over to visit us, we can share our toys. We can share our time by maybe calling your grandmother or grandfather or calling a friend on the phone. We can share things that we have. And one of the things that most of us have is food. And there are some children that don't have enough food. And so one of the ways that we can help those families that don't have enough food, and that is to share some of the food we have. And again, next Sunday is the chance to do that here at our church. And when you do, I want you to think of what your favorite foods are. And if you have a chance to share those favorite foods with somebody, what would it be? Would it be soup? Would it be a can of vegetables? Would it be a box of your favorite cereal? Maybe. Whatever it is, I invite you to bring that next Sunday between 1 and 2 in the afternoon so that you can share as well. And that'll make everybody happy. Make kids that get the food happy, to make Jesus happy, and to make all of us happy as well. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you've given us the gift of sharing and remind us of all the ways we can share what we have with others, especially the food we have with those who don't have enough food. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We have two scripture readings this morning. One is from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, the 25th chapter, beginning at the 17th verse. Hear now these words. Remember what Amalek did to you on your journey out of Egypt, how he attacked you on the way when you were faint and weary and struck down all who lagged behind you. He did not fear God. Therefore, when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your enemies on every hand in the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, you shall blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Do not forget. And our second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. Hear now these words. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to the one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. I was naked, and you gave me no, did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into the eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Here ends our second lesson. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for these words of Holy Scripture, and as we reflect upon them this morning, we ask that your Spirit guide my words and all of our thoughts so they might be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. So, have you made up your list of the things you want to do when the pandemic is over? Perhaps your list will start with hugging a grandchild or a grandmother. Maybe you would put eat at a restaurant on your list, or go to a concert or a basketball game, perhaps. Maybe your list would include travel to Florida or travel to anywhere. After a year of living under COVID restrictions, we are getting the first glimmers of hope that this whole thing might actually have an endpoint. And we certainly aren't there yet, but we can look ahead and see that we might actually get there, or at least we can dream about it, can't we? This Lenten season, I have been exploring what this pandemic has meant for our faith, and particularly what we have learned about God and about ourselves as we emerge from the pandemic. And perhaps the key question for all of us now that we are emerging is, how are we going to engage the world? Of course, it is a different world than the one we left a little over a year ago. Some of our favorite businesses are no more. Some of the things we used to do won't be the same anymore. I mean, will we ever shake hands again? We've developed some new habits as well, some that we'll probably keep. For one, I am sure that we will continue to be having Zoom meetings at least some of the times. The pandemic has also given us a new appreciation for many within our society. Healthcare workers are now heroes. Other frontline workers are now appreciated as in ways they never were before. And most parents will tell you that they have new respect for teachers after having tried to manage their children's education for a year. And we've learned that some people made money during the pandemic. Some even made lots of money. How much money did Amazon make this last year because everybody had to do their shopping online? And how much more money did grocery stores make since people didn't spend their food money in restaurants? There was money to be made in the pandemic, and some people were in the position to make it. And then there were those who lost money during the pandemic. One of the stark realities of this past year has been the fact that the effects of this pandemic has hit some segments of the country much worse than others. The travel industry was devastated. The restaurant industry is barely hanging on. Even hospitals, despite all the focus on the COVID, lost money because other medical procedures were canceled or postponed. But most of all, the effects of the pandemic were felt by the poor, and especially poor people of color. This is true in both the effects of the virus itself and in the economic and social impact that was caused by the disease. Blacks and Hispanics and indigenous people have death rates from COVID that are double or more than that of white Americans. These groups also experienced 5 times the rates of hospitalizations as whites. And the economic impact of the disease is also disproportionately affecting the poor and the low-income segments of our society, many of whom are people of color. Of the millions of jobs lost in 2020, 4 out of 5 were held by people earning $13 or less per hour. A large percentage of those jobs were held by women of color, since they make up a large portion of the workers in many of the hardest hit industries, like the restaurant industry and the hotel industry. British journalist Raphael Baer wrote about the pandemic this way: "To have reached this point in the pandemic with a secure job, a quiet room, and no severe infection or agony of bereavement is to have known a different pandemic to the one marked by destitution and death. The disease has ravaged some and spared others. It gets deadlier with age, but it appears also to have discriminated along racial lines for reasons that are not fully understood. Partly, that is likely to be a function of class inequality. COVID thrives on deprivation, crowded accommodations, poor diet, precarious jobs that made it harder for people to self-isolate or to take time off work for convalescence. Some have saved money from hoarded salaries. Others have spent meager savings and run up debts to stay solvent. Lockdown has been most expensive for people who could least afford it." As I reflected on this reality this past week, an obscure scripture passage from Deuteronomy came to my attention. I read it at the beginning of our service, but it began with these words: "Remember what Amalek did to you on your journey out of Egypt, how he attacked you by the way, and when you were faint and weary, and struck down all who lagged behind you." An interesting passage. Israel had lots of enemies at the time, other nations and tribes that often fought with the Israelites. The intriguing question raised by the passage is why the Amalek people would be singled out. Why, of all the enemies of Israel, were they the ones that the Israelites were not to forget? Looking back at Jewish history, after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, the Amalekites launched a surprise attack on the rear of the Israelite column, where the women, children, and elderly people were, the defenseless ones in the nation of Israel. It should not come as a surprise that the Amalekites attacked the most vulnerable of the Israelite migration. That is what enemies do. They seek out weak points and attack there. In this command to remember, God was not admonishing the Amalekites, but instead was admonishing the Israelites to remember. Remember to protect the weak and the vulnerable in their society. As one Jewish rabbi put it, if the Israelite nation had not forgotten these vulnerable people and rather had brought them under the protection of the divine presence by including them with the rest of the population, Amalek could not have harmed them. They would have been protected had the army been paying attention to those who lagged behind. The COVID disease is our Amalek. It has attacked those in our society who are the most vulnerable. Jewish scholar Michael Knopf writes about this passage. That is why we are admonished to remember what happened with Amalek. That is why we are commanded not to forget, because there will always be enemies that target the vulnerable, whether those enemies are human or forces of nature, whether those enemies are deliberately hostile or indiscriminately damaging. Our job is to keep the most vulnerable among us front of mind, to ensure the weakest among us are protected, included in our communal concern, and shielded by our care. Jesus had a different way of putting it, as we see in chapter 25 of Matthew. Here, Jesus tells a parable about sheep and goats. Only it is not sheep and goats that are separated, but the nations of the world, the peoples, who will be separated. And the basis of that separation is how each nation treated Jesus, by how they treated the most vulnerable in society, the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the imprisoned. Nations that fed the hungry, quenched the thirsty, welcomed the stranger, clothed the naked, treated the sick, and visited the imprisoned, they will be the ones rewarded. Those who fail in this task, well, they will be the ones who realize they never really saw Jesus at all. Methodist bishop and author Robert Chenet says that this parable of Jesus directs the church to what he calls risk-taking mission. He writes, vibrant, fruitful, growing congregations practice risk-taking mission and service. Vibrant congregations push beyond ordinary service and everyday missions to offer extraordinary opportunities for life-changing engagement with people. A majority of the people with whom we share this world live with incredible uncertainty because of poverty, hunger, illness, and war. Followers of Christ cannot live as if these have nothing to do with us. Christ moves us closer to suffering, not further away. Churches that practice risk-taking mission are dissatisfied and offended by the abuse of children, the suffering of innocents, the oppression of the poor, and the reoccurring cycles of addiction, violence, and injustice around them. All the problems that Shanice listed existed before the pandemic. But the pandemic has brought them to the light of day, maybe because we have had more time to be aware of them. But no longer can the church ignore the conditions of our fellow human beings and excuse ourselves from addressing them. We can no longer pretend that we haven't seen the disparities in our society. As we emerge from the pandemic, God is placing a challenge before the church. Do we have the strength of faith to reshape our society so that the most vulnerable are not only protected but uplifted? Can we bring justice to a world that is so unjust? Can we bring equality to a world that is so unequal? Can we rebuild a disease-ravaged society so that it is better than it was before? We can. We can if we remember that it is Jesus whom we are serving. And that is the message Jesus is giving us in this passage from Matthew. The good news that we will all be better if we begin to see Jesus in everyone. Amen.
Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives' wild, restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us from thy worship of the vain world's golden star, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of foil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by thy mercy, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience, serve and love thee best of all.
Come before God in prayer, and as we do, we lift up those who are in particular need of prayer. O Lord, hear our prayers. Mighty God, you make a way for us in the chaos of the sea and give us water in the desert. Help us to live by the covenant you write in our hearts. Open us up to receive the new thing that you are doing. Give us grace to know Christ and the sharing of his suffering and the power of his resurrection, that we may gain the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. O God, have mercy on us according to your steadfast love, for we know our sins and we cannot overlook them. We have failed to put our complete confidence in you. We rely on prestige and past successes for reputation. We look to wealth and power for support. We cling to things, and yet knowing you surpass all else. Wash us, heal us, teach us to honor you. Let us know the joy and gladness of your saving grace that we may have life. Holy God, you came to us in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We lift our hearts to you in thanksgiving for your wondrous acts. And mindful of your steadfast love, we also lift before you the troubles of the world and of our community. We pray for those whom we've mentioned here this morning, for those in need of healing, for those in need of comforting, for those in need of guidance, for those in need of reconciliation, for those in need of hope. Teach us to care for each other with your wisdom, to guide each other in the ways of discipleship, to give us courage to love each other in the name of Jesus. Help us to be your faithful people, ready to be molded into a servant people. Thus we pray together, saying that special prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And may God's blessings be upon you this day, knowing that God goes with you wherever you may go this week. And may God shower his love upon you this day and always. Amen.